بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد so we were discussing the types of أخبار or types of خبر and we finished discussing the متواتر. Now we come on to the second one which is آحاد. والثاني وهو أول أقسام من الآحاد. And the second type, which is the first قسم of the آحاد, ما له طرق محصورة بأكثر من اثنين وهو المشهور عند المحدثين. That which has many paths, many isnads, but they are limited. So طرق, it has many isnads, but they are limited. And they are more than two. وهو المشهور عند المحدثين. Okay, this is known as مشهور according to the محدثون. So the three conditions is that it needs to have many isnads, or at least three or more, but it's limited, meaning that it's limited up to the level of متواتر. This is called مشهور according to the محدثون. وثمي بذلك لوضوحه. And it is called mashhur because of its clarity or openness, from the word shuhra, that it is famous. وَهُوَ الْمُسْتَفِيضُ عَلَىٰ رَأِي جَمَاعَةٍ مِّنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْفُقَهَاءِ. And this is also known as mustafid. Mustafid, which also means the widely, the one that is full to the brim. Okay. The one that is full to the brim. So sometimes this is also known as mustafid. But mustafid is a fiqh or usul al-fiqh terminology. So this is why he says وَهُوَ الْمُسْتَفِيدُ عَلَىٰ رَأِي جَمَاعَةٍ مِّنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْفُقَّهَا. سُمِّيَ بِذَٰلِكَ لِإِنْتِشَارِهِ. It is called mustafid because it is widely dispersed. Min fadha al-ma'u yafidhu faydan, which basically means that the water has completely flowed over. Wa minhum man ghayara bayna al-mustafid wal mashhur. And there are those who make a distinction between mustafid and mashhur, bi anna al-mustafidha yakunu fi ibtida'ihi wa intihaihi sawa'un wal mashhur a'ammu min dhalika. That mustafid is the one which the number is constant from the beginning to the end, meaning that the three or more number is constant. It doesn't matter if there are more, but it shouldn't fall below three. That's constant from the beginning, i.e. from the time that it has been narrated by the Sahabi to the time that it has been captured and collected by an author like Imam al-Bukhari, that number cannot fall below three. وَالْمَشْهُورُ أَعَمُّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And mashhur is more general than that, i.e. mashhur is the one which is according to the fuqaha. It started off as khabr wahid, and then later on it became widely dispersed. But these are primarily usul al-fiqh distinctions. Imam Ibn Hajar says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ غَايَرَ عَلَىٰ كَيْفِيَةٍ أُخْرَىٰ. There are those who have made a مُغَايَرَ, distinction between them in different ways. Then he says, وَلَيْسَ مِنْ مَبَاحِثِ هَذَا الْفَنِ. These differences and this مُغَايَرَ are not from the topic of عُلُومُ الْحَدِيثِ. They are more أُسُولُ الْفِقْهِ. What we need to know is that in عُلُومُ الْحَدِيثِ, the hadith mashhur is any isnad, any hadith which has got three people, okay, narrating it in at least in every one generation. Okay, in every generation there are at least three people who are narrating it, and then the mustafid and the different meanings of mustafid, these are not really the topics of ulum al-hadith. They're more to do with usul al-fiqh. However, we can't compartmentalize people, okay? A person might be an expert in usul al-fiqh and an expert in hadith as well at the same time. a person might be an expert in hadith and an expert in fiqh at the same time. So we can't compartmentalize people, and they might be coming at it from a mixture of disciplines. So it is important to know that there are these different differences between the by the fuqaha we mean usul al-fiqh scholars and the muhaddithun. And also it is important to know that people cannot be dissected, and sometimes they may use this terminology and sometimes they may use that terminology, because we can't compartmentalize people, and it happens. This is just kind of making you aware that there might be disciplinary confusion and that there might be different people using terminologies out of the different. So, you know, they might use the terminology of one discipline in another discipline. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. So an example of a mashhur, according to istilah, according to this terminology, is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Iza jaa ahadukum al-jum'ata falyaghtasil." Okay. "Iza jaa ahadukum al-jum'ata falyaghtasil." Hadith in Muslim and Bukhari and others. Now, this hadith is sahih, but also is classified as mashhur, because there is at least three people in every parts of the isnad. Okay, you also get a hadith. So it's sahih and also it's mashhur. You also get a hadith. Remember, the mashhur and the aziz and the mutawatir is to do with the number of isnads. It's got nothing to do with the quality of the isnads, whether they are sahih or not. But nevertheless, we do have hadith mashhur, which is also hasan, which is la darara wa la dirar. Imam Nawawi has done tahseen of it in the Arba'een. You also get hadith mashhur, which are da'if. For example, utlub. So basically what that means is that in every generation of the isnad, there are three people. Utlubul ilma wa law bisin. This is hadith mashhur from the technical point of view, okay? And also it is hadith da'if. ثُمَّ الْمَشْهُورُ يُطْلَقُ عَلَى مَا حُرِّرَ هُنَا. Imam Ibn Hajar is giving a summary, and he's saying that the mashhur can be applied to what is written here. What is written here is above what he's mentioned, that there has to be at least three people in every generation of the isnad. وَعَلَى مَشْتُهِرَ عَلَى الْأَلْسِنَةِ. Also, the hadith mashhur is can also be applied to that hadith which is in vogue, which is famous amongst the people, irrelevant of whether it's sahih or da'if or hasan or mawdu', that which is in circulation and people know it, then that is also known as hadith mashhur. But that is mashhur lughawi, okay, not istilahi. It is mashhur lughawi. Fayashmalu ma lahu isnadun wahidun fasa'idan. It includes that which has one isnad or more. Bal ma la yujad lahu isnadun aslan. In fact, it also includes those ahadith which have no isnad. Okay, they have no isnad. We don't know where they're coming from, but it has become mashhur according to the people. So now we get two terminologies of mashhur. One is mashhur istilahi, which is that in every subsequent generation, there needs to be at least three people in the isnad. Or the hadith which is mashhur, which is famously known. For example, Imam al-Sakhawi has written a book called Maqasid al-Hasana fil Ahadith al-Mushtahara. Okay. Then Imam Ijluni has written a book called Kashf al-Khifa wa Muzil al-Ilbas amma ushtuhira ala al-silat al-nas. Right? That which has become mashhur on the tongues of people. So these are this is mashhur in the lughawi sense. Yeah. Can anybody tell me a hadith which is mashhur in the lughawi sense? Can somebody tell me? Anyone?
You know, innama al-a'malu bin-niyat is everybody knows that hadith, so I feel like it's very popular in that sense, but I'm not sure if it's mashhur in the istilahi sense.
No, it's not mashhur in the istilahi sense. It is gharib in the istilahi sense, but you're right. It is mashhur in the lughawi sense. Yeah? What about utlubu al-ilma min al-mahdi ila al-lahad? Gain knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Have you heard of that? Gain knowledge to the cradle to, from the cradle to the grave?
Heard of it. Isn't that da'if?
So it's da'if, yes, but it's mashhur. In the istilahi sense. What about al-ghina'u yumbitu al-nifaqa fi al-qalbi kama yumbitu al-ma'u al-zar'a? That music cultivates nifaq, munafaqat in the heart, like the way that water cultivates, irrigates the crop. It's famous, but it's mawdu', fabricated. Yeah. So any hadith that is in circulation, okay, irrelevant of the isnad, the status of the isnad, is mashhur lughawi. Is that okay?
Well, isn't that hadith al-ghina yumbitu al-nifaq? Isn't that in Zadul Talibin?
Yeah, it's mawdu', it's fabricated.
Sheikh, I have one question that on the so if there's a hadith that's hasan but mashhur, like you mentioned the la darar wa la dirar, and yeah, or da'if and mashhur. So we're saying, you know, it meets the criteria of da'if or hasan in terms of the narrators. Maybe someone's memory is bad or what have you in the chain, in the isnad, but there are still three different people at least in every level of the chain. So I guess, so first, am I understanding that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. So the second thing I wanted to ask, if it's mashhur but hasan or mashhur but da'if, because three different people is a lot of people, and if they're totally separate in each chain, does that automatically make it like hasan li ghayrihi or sahih li ghayrihi, or is that a judgment? Is that not a hard and fast rule? Are we?
It's not a hard and fast rule. Each hadith needs to be taken. So when you say three people in every subsequent generation, at least three people, okay?
At least,
and,
yeah.
And it's not. I mean, if I was to draw it out, let's see. Just give me a minute. Okay, so let's say you've got the prophet here. Go. These are Sahabi. There's a difference of opinion amongst the ulama as to whether the needs in all of these mutawatir and ilog, do we need? Does it start from the point of the Sahabi, or does it start from the point of the Tabi'i? Okay, because a Sahabi, according to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, has got epistemological certainty, because we don't discuss the Sahabi at all. So there's a difference in opinion. So what we don't mean is this. This is not what we mean.
Right.
we don't mean that every single person in the isnad has to have three. Okay,
right.
That would be impossible. Is that how you understood it?
No. There has to be at least three in each generation, right? In each level in the isnad. So yeah. if one narrated maybe to two people, and then the other one on yeah. the other
so
part. The,
so,
of the
isnad, then, so th- yeah. this basically fulfills it. This fulfills it.
Got it.
Yeah. So at least three people in any generation. Yeah. So it doesn't automatically become Hassan li zatihi or Sahih li zatihi, Hassan li ghayri or Sahih li ghayrihi. We still need to look at the strength of the isnads. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yep, got it.
Okay. Then we have the third one. So the first one is mutawatir. The second one is mashhur. And now we come to the third one. وَثَالِسُ الْعَزِيزِ. The third one is the khabri aziz. وَهُوَ أَلَّا يَرْوِيَهُ أَقَلُّ مِنْ إِثْنَيْنِ عَنْ إِثْنَيْنِ. Okay. It's the one that less than two people from less than two people. So there can't be less than two people from less than two people, meaning that it has to have a minimum of two people in each generation of the isnad. Okay. So that's at least there has to be a minimum of two people. وَسُمِّيَ بِذَٰلِكَ إِمَّا لِقِلَّةِ وُجُودِهِ وَإِمَّا. So for example, if I was to show you, let's say Sahabi, right? Two Sahabis. So Rasul, Sahabi. Tabi'i. You understand what TT means, right? Tabi'i. Tabi'i. Yeah. So this will, although we've got here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. You can say, oh, why isn't this hadith mashhur? Yeah. We've got three here. 1, 2, 3. You can say, well, it fulfills the minimum number that is required for mashhur, then why don't we say the hadith is mashhur? The reason why we don't say the hadith is mashhur is because we look at the isnad, other parts of the isnad, and see what is the least amount in any generation. The least amount in any generation is what is going to decide what type of hadith it is. And we find somewhere, it doesn't matter anywhere, as long as it's before a collector, we look at the least amount. So we found in the Sahaba, and the level of the Sahaba, there's only two. That means that this entire isnad is an Aziz isnad. Does that make sense?
Well, so just so if I understood correctly, in this, you've got three generations. Are you counting each line as a generation?
Yeah, each line is a generation. Yeah.
Okay. So you've got two in the first generation, three in the second, and then five in the third.
Yeah. So you can say, well, it isn't three or more the condition of a mashhur hadith. So why don't you call it mashhur? Which is right, but we've got two people here. Now, if we had three people here, three sahabis, then this qualifies as a mashhur. Does that make sense? Did you get that, Hussein?
Yes.
Yes. So in each, you have to look at the least number of people in any generation. It's the least number of people that will define what the isnad should be called. Is it Aziz? Is it Mashhur? Is it Khabr Wahid? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. وَسُمِّيَ بِذَٰلِكَ There's two reasons why this is called Aziz. إِمَّا لِقِلَّةِ وُجُودِهِ وَإِمَّا لِكَ So one is عَزَّ يَعِزُّ and the other one is عَزَّ يَعَزُّ عَزَّ يَعِزُّ basically means نُدْرَ لِقِلَّةِ وُجُودِهِ because the Aziz is seldom found. وَإِمَّا لِكَوْنِهِ عَزَّ أي قوية بمجيئه من طريق آخر or it is called Aziz because the isnad becomes fortified, the isnad becomes strong because it has a second isnad, i.e. there is a mutaba'at. Okay, and because there's a mutaba'at, the first isnad gets strong because there is a somebody else corroborating him. So two reasons it's called Aziz. One is because to find, you know, a hadith where at least there are only two people, it's quite rare, okay? And also because it's Azza Ya'azzu, that is Qawiyya, the mutaba'at makes it, mutaba'at and the mutabi, they fortify each other, yeah? So... Yeah, does that make sense? So that's just a linguistic discussion. Now he goes on to, once he's told us what the Aziz is, so the example of an Aziz hadith is that which has been recorded by Imam Bukhari and others. That's an example of an Aziz hadith. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. صحيح حديث but it's عزيز رواه الشيخان من حديث أنس والبخاري من حديث أبي هريرة وقد رواه عن أنس قتادة وعبد العزيز بن صهيب ورواه عن قتادة شعبة وسعيد ورواه عن عبد العزيز إسماعيل بن علي وعبد الوارث ورواه عن كل جماعة. So here we have kind of three, you know, in every generation, there's at least two people narrating the hadith. So this is an example. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. Now Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani, he discusses some controversies. And the controversy is whether for a hadith to be sahih, you need a minimum of two isnads for a hadith to be sahih or not. Does that make sense? Do you need a minimum of two isnads in order for a hadith to be sahih? Imam Bukhari says, Imam Ibn Hajar says, وَلَيْسَ شَرْطًا لِلصَّحِيحِ A hadith does not need to be aziz in order to become a sahih hadith. خِلَافًا لِمَنْ زَعَمَهُ خِلَافًا لِمَنْ زَعَمَهُ As opposed to those who make that claim. And who is it that's making that claim? وَهُوَ أَبُو عَلِي الْجُبَّائِ مِنَ الْمُعْتَزِلَةِ It is Abu Ali al-Jubba'i from the Mu'tazila. Abu Ali al-Jubba'i was the father-in-law of Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari. So Abu Ali al-Jubba'i is of the opinion that in order for hadith to be sahih, then there needs to be at least, the hadith needs to be at least aziz. Okay? Khabr wahid cannot be or one person narration, no narration cannot be a sahih. Now, the Mu'tazilas, the earlier Mu'tazilas, they denied hadith altogether, okay, and they did not accept hadith. But then, when they realized that hadith has seeped into every single kind of areas of Islam, and people will not take to them, you know, very nicely if they were to go around denying hadith, what they basically did was they put these conditions down, and they said, oh, we don't deny hadith, we just put stricter conditions. So our strict condition is that the minimum number of people, minimum number of isnad that a hadith has to have is at least two in every single generation. And he says this because it is rare to find a hadith that has got this. It is rare to find Aziz hadiths. So in another way, he's putting down conditions where these conditions cannot be even met. And therefore, that's another way of disregarding hadith by not saying that I disregard hadith, but by putting a condition that those conditions cannot be even fulfilled. Does that make sense? Yep.
Yes.
وَإِلَيْهِ يُؤْمِئُ كَلَامُ الْحَاكِمِ أَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ فِي عُلُومِ الْحَدِيثِ حَيْثُ قَالَ الصَّحِيحُ أَيَّرْوِيَهُ الصَّحَابِيُّ الزَّائِلُ عَنْهُ إِسْمُ الْجَهَالَةِ بِأَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ رَاوِيَانِ ثُمَّ يَتَدَاوَلَهُ أَهْلُ الْحَدِيثِ إِلَى وَقْتِنَا كَالشَّهَادَةِ عَلَى الشَّهَادَةِ. Here, Imam Ibn Hajar says that this is also the kalam of Hakim Abu Abdullah in his book Ulumul Hadith. So this is the Sahib al-Mustadrak. Also, does ishara indication towards this, where he says as-sahihu, the sahih hadith is ayyarwi as-sahabiyyu az-za'il anhu ismul jahala, that a sahabi who is not unidentifiable. Sahabi who is not unidentifiable, meaning that a sahabi who's identifiable. How? In the manner that two people have narrated from him. ثُمَّ يَتَدَاوَلُهُ أَهْلُ الْحَدِيثِ إِلَىٰ وَقْتِنَا, and then the people of hadith have accepted those hadiths until our time. Like shahada ala shahada. So what does Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Hakim Al-Naysapuri, what does he say? He says that in order for a hadith to be sahih, it needs to be shahada ala shahada, like shahada ala shahada. One person witnesses something and another person comes and he says that I witnessed that his witnessing is correct. This is called shahada ala shahada. So similarly, he's saying in order for a hadith to be sahih, the Sahabi has to be identifiable. How is the Sahabi identifiable? That at least two people must have narrated from him. Okay, so now this seems to be, I mean, have you understood what Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Naysapuri is saying? Have you understood that in order for a hadith to be sahih, a Sahabi who is identifiable. So he's just mentioning the Sahabi. Basically, he's talking about any Rawi in any point of the Isnad. Yeah? A Sahabi or a Rawi, let's say a Rawi, has to be identifiable. And how is a Rawi identifiable? Where two people have narrated from him. And then that hadith becomes famous, like Shahada ala Shahada. Have you understood what Imam Abu Abdullah is saying?
Yes.
Okay. Now, is that the same as Abu Ali al-Jubba'i, what Abu Ali al-Jubba'i is saying?
No, different.
How?
Because he said that they won't consider if it's only one person is narrating it.
Mm.
And it needs to have two people in Isnad.
Yep. And why is Imam Hakim saying?
That as long as the Sahabi is recognizable, is identifiable, then we consider it.
What does he mean by bi-ayyakuna lahu rawiyan, that he has two narrators?
So I guess al-Hakim, for al-Hakim, there can be one Sahabi, as long as there's two people narrating from the one Sahabi, but al-Jubai, there has to be two Sahabi, or do it have to be like the Aziz conditions, or am I understanding it wrong?
Yeah, it's a bit wrong. So I'll spare you that.
Is it my understanding that I might have got it completely wrong, that the difference with the Hakim is saying as long as two people narrate from that Sahabi, whether it's that hadith or another hadith, then that's fine. As long as there's two people on record narrating from him.
Yes, that's correct. So what Abu Ali al-Jubba'i is talking about and what Hakim is talking about is two different things. Abu Ali al-Jubba'i is talking about the riwaya. The riwaya has to be such that they in every subsequent level of the isnad, there has to be at least a minimum of two people. Okay, Hakim is not talking about the riwaya. Hakim is talking about the rawi, right? And in ulum al-hadith, we have something called majhulul ayn. A person is majhulul ayn, or a person is what is called mastur. Mastur is a person who we don't know their identity. So sometimes mastur is called majhulul hal. We don't know the identity of that person. And how do we get the identity of that person is recognized is when two people narrate from that person. It doesn't matter where, but at least if two people have narrated anywhere, doesn't necessarily have to be in this hadith, any hadith, at least if at least two, it is known that two people a minimum have narrated from this person, then it means that this person is no longer a majhulul hal. Does that make sense? So in order, and this is the ruling for every single rawi, in order for a rawi to be identifiable and not be mastur, then at least two people in the world have to be narrating from that rawi. So Imam Hakim is not even talking about Aziz. Imam Hakim is basically talking about the quality of a rawi, and the quality of a rawi is that he needs to be known. He can't be neither majhulul ayn or majhulul hal, because if a rawi is majhul, that's a ta'an in his adala. And remember, if there is a criticism in your adala, then the hadith will be not sahih. So Imam Hakim is talking about the rawi. He's not talking about the riwayah. So they're actually talking about two different things. Does that make sense?
Yep. And is that a widely accepted definition?
Sorry, Hussein?
Is that a widely accepted definition? Like, yes. Abu Hakim's?
Yes. That is okay. that is the standard definition, that at least two people have to be, and this is why Hafiz Ibn Hajar basically says wa ilayhi yu'mi, right? There may be a possible indication, okay, but it's not really because Hafiz Hakim is actually talking about the rawi, conditions of the rawi, and Abu Ali Al Jubai is talking about the conditions of the riwaya. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. Now we come to another discussion. And that discussion is, okay, now we've established that it is not a condition for a sahih hadith that it needs to be aziz. But is it a condition for, is it a condition of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi that the hadith has to be aziz, at least in the sahih al-Bukhari? Okay, this was the opinion of Imam Abu Bakr ibn Arabi, also Imam Al-Hazimi in Shurut A'imma Al-Khamsa. They were of the opinion that for Imam Al-Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, the ahadith, in order for a hadith to be sahih, it needs to be khabr aziz. وصرح القاضي أبو بكر ابن العربي في شرح البخاري بأن ذلك شرط البخاري, that this is the condition of Imam al-Bukhari. Now people have vehemently critiqued Imam Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi by saying, well, actually your da'wah and your case falls flat if we just look at the hadith of the first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, innama al-a'malu binniyat, because innama al-a'malu binniyat is gharib. It only has one isnad. It doesn't have two isnads in all subsequent generation. It only has one isnad. So Imam Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi, he responds to that and he says, وَأَجَابَ عَمَّا أُورِدَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ بِجَوَابٍ فِيهِ نَظَرٍ. And Imam Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi responds to the criticism leveled against him with a response which is weak, which is problematic. So Hafiz ibn Hajar says that he gives a response, but that response is weak. Okay, what is that response? لِأَنَّهُ قَالَ فَإِنْ قِيلَ حَدِيثُ الْأَعْمَالِ بِالنِّيَاتِ فَرْضٌ لَمْ يَرْوِيهِ عَنْ عُمَرْ إِلَّا عَلْقَمَ. If it is said, so this is Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi responding. He says, if it is said that the hadith of إِنَّمُ الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ is gharib, no one has narrated it from Umar other than Alqama. قَالَ قُلْنَا. His response to this is, قُلْنَا قَدْ خَتَبَ بِهِ عُمَرْ عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ بِحَضْرَةِ الصَّحَابَةِ فَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهُ لَأَنْكَرُوهُ فَلَوْ لَا أَنَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهُ لَأَنْكَرُوهُ. He's saying that the hadith of the first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, which is إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, is not gharib. Why? He's saying, خَتَبَ بِهِ عُمَرْ عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ بِحَضْرَةِ الصَّحَابَةِ, that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrated this hadith on the minbar in front of all of the companions. فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهُ لَا يَعْرِفُونَهُ or فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهُ لَأَنْكَرُوهُ. If they did not recognize it, then they would have protested. كَذَا قَالَ. This is what Imam Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi responds. So he's saying, no, the hadith is actually mashhur. Okay, it's actually mashhur because it started off with Umar mentioning it in front of all of the companions and nobody protested. Nobody. وَتُعُقِّبَ بِأَنَّهُ لَا يَلْزَمُ مِكَوْنٍ كَوْنِهِمْ سَكَتُوهُ عَنْهُ أَنْ يَكُونُوا سَمِعُوهُ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. It is not, so the Imam Ibn Hajar is doing rad on Ibn Arabi. He says it is, his response has been critiqued because it is not necessary that the Sahaba, remain silent, yeah? They remain silent, أَيَّكُونُ, that they have heard this hadith from somebody else. Basically, Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi is saying the fact that the Sahaba heard this hadith from on the minbar meant that they've already heard this hadith before from someone else, either the Prophet ﷺ or another Sahabi, because if they've never heard it before and they're hearing it for the first time, that Hazrat Umar is mentioning it, then they would have done inkar of it. Hafiz ibn Hajar is saying, لا يلزم من كونهم سكتوا عنه أن يكونوا سمعوه من غيره. It is not necessary that the fact that they remain silent is that they have heard it from somewhere else. That's not necessary. They may have remained silent because it was the Jummah khutbah. They didn't want to disturb. And also because they trusted Sayyidina Umar. If Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala is telling them this, then they're trusting him and accepting him. That doesn't mean that they've heard it from somewhere else. Does that make sense? It still will be Khabar Wahid because Umar is the only one that is mentioning it. Do you get the response?
Yes.
Yep. Yes. So then he said, okay, chalo. Let's accept Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi's, contention. And let's say that all the Sahabis have heard it previously. And that's why when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned it on the minbar, they did not do inkar of it. Fine. Okay. We accept that. But still, how do we explain the other parts of the isnad? Is So this is the isnad that I created. Yeah, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu. So this is something that I made of the hadith of Niyya. Umar ibn Khattab, who narrated to Alqama ibn Waqqas al-Laysi, who narrated to Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi, who narrated it to Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan. And then from Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan, the hadith basically fans out to, you know, everyone. Yeah. Now, what Imam ibn Hajar is saying, he's saying, okay, وَبِأَنَّ هَذَا لَوْ سُلِّمَ فِي عُمَرٍ. If we were to accept this in Sayyidina Umar, let me just bring the bring it up so you can follow what we're saying. Yeah, so he's saying, okay, if we were to bi anna hadha law sullima fi Umar, if we were to accept this in Sayyidina Umar, muni'a fi tafarrudi al-qama, this same argument will not work when it comes to Al-Qama. Okay, the companions heard Umar ibn Khattab, and therefore, on the level of Umar ibn Khattab, the hadith is mashhur. But Al-Qama is the only one that heard from Umar. We don't have anybody here in Al-Qama who has heard it, at least another person who has heard it from Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab. We don't. Al-Qama is the only one. Summa tafarrudi Muhammad ibn Ibrahim. And then Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi is the only one that heard it from Al-Qama. We don't have a mutaba'at from him. Yeah. An Al-Qama. Summa tafarrudi Yahya ibn Sa'id an Muhammad. And Yahya ibn Sa'id is the only one who has heard it from Muhammad ibn Ibrahim. He's got no mutaba'at. Ala ma huwa الصحيح المعروف عند المحدثين, which is the صحيح المعروف according to المحدثين. So, okay, Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi's argument may work when it comes to Umar ibn Khattab, but it falls short when it comes to Al-Qama. That's not Aziz. When it comes to Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, that's not Aziz. When it comes to Yahya ibn Sa'id, that's not Aziz. Yes, it fans out after Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan, but, before him, it doesn't. So Abu Bakr ibn Arabi's argument falls flat on his face. وَقَدْ وَرَدَتْ لَهُمْ مُتَابَعَاتٌ لَا يُعْتَبَرْ بِهَا وَكَذَا لَا يَسْلُمْ جَوَابُهُ فِي غَيْرِ حَدِيثِ عُمَرٍ. And there are other mutaba'at. So Abu Bakr ibn Arabi might say, yeah, but there are also mutaba'at for this. Yeah, وَقَدْ وَرَدَتْ لَهُمْ مُتَابَعَاتٌ. There might be other hadiths which are corroborating, like the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala, who corroborates this hadith. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri narrates from Atta ibn Yasar to Zayd ibn Aslam to Malik to Ibn Abi Rawad, but this isnad is completely weak, and the muhaddithun have rejected that. Okay, so somebody might say that Umar ibn Khattab has got mutaba'a there with Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Al-Qama ibn Waqqas has got mutaba'a there with mutaba'a Qasir with Atta ibn Yasar. Muhammad ibn Ibrahim might have a mutaba'a there with Zayd ibn Aslam. But this is weak. And because it's weak, we don't even consider it. None of the muhaddithun consider it. So this is why it says, وَقَدْ وَرَدَتْ لَهُمْ مُتَابَعَاتٌ لَا يُعْتَبَرُ بِهَا, that there are mutaba'at that for this hadith, mutaba'at means corroborations which are not mu'tabar. وَكَذَا لَا يَسْلُمْ جَوَابُهُ فِي غَيْدِ حَدِيثِ عُمَرٍ. And similarly, if we were to if we were to use Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi's response to other ahadith other than the hadith of Umar, it still won't work. Basically, the khulasa is that it is not a condition of Imam al-Bukhari that the hadith has to have the hadith has to be an aziz in order for it to warrant an entry into the Sahih al-Bukhari. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
قال ابن رشيد, ابن رشيد says ولقد كان يكفي القاضية في بطلان ما ادعى أنه شرط البخاري أول حديثه مذكور فيه. And قاضي أبو بكر, it is sufficient to reject the da'wah or to declare the da'wah of قاضي أبو بكر ابن العربي that that this is the condition, the Khabr Aziz is the condition of Imam al-Bukhari, is the first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. He falls flat on the first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. Yeah. Now, you might basically be thinking that, well, Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi was a Maliki faqih, he was a great scholar. You know, how can he make such a blunder? I mean, Sheikh Hatim Sharif Al-Auni has one response to that, and he says, well, Abu Bakr ibn Arabi, he might have written a sharah of Bukhari, but he was a faqih, okay? And fiqh was his shughl, not hadith, and therefore, he missed out some of the nuances of the hadith scholars. That's the only explanation that he gives. وَدَّعَى إِبْنِ حِبَّانِ نَقِيدَ دَعْوَاهُ. Imam ibn Hibban makes a claim which is completely the opposite. He says, فَإِنَّ رِوَايَةٍ. So Imam Ibn Hibban makes a completely different. So who is Ibn Hibban? Ibn Hibban, Abu Hatim al-Busti, the author of Sahih Ibn Hibban. He says, اِدَّعَى Ibn Hibban نَقِيدَ دَعْوَاهُ. Ibn Hibban, basically, he makes a completely opposite da'wah. فَقَالَ. He says, "Inna riwayat ithnain an ithnain ila ayyantahi la tujad aslan." That a khabr wahid, khabr aziz does not exist at all. The riwayah of two people to two people until the end does not exist at all. So Imam Ibn Hibban is doing da'wah that khabr aziz does not exist at all. Imam Ibn Hajar is doing rad of that. He's saying, قلت إن أراد أن رواية إثنين فقط عن إثنين إلى أن ينتهي لا يوجد أصلا فيمكن أن يسلم. That if the riwayat of two people, if he means that خبر عزيز does not exist, is that the riwayat of two people, two people, you know, to the end of the isnad, then maybe, you know, لا يوجد, that this doesn't exist, فَيُمْكِنُ أَنْ يُسَلَّمْ, then it is possible that we can accept his criticism, because that does not exist. So this thing where we mentioned that in every, so, if he means this, yeah, if he means this, then that doesn't exist. So we accept, you know, his criticism. But if he means that Khabr Aziz does not exist at all, you know, something like this, yeah, then we don't accept that, yeah. We don't accept that, because Khabr Aziz like this exists. Okay? At least there has to be a minimum of two people in each generation of the Isnad. Yeah?
Yeah. Well, just a question on that. The response to Ibn Arabi, that he's not he's a faqih and a muhaddith per se. He could make that kind of mistake. But with Ibn Hibban, he's a hadith specialist. So is it reasonable to think that he made that mistake?
No, he's not saying he made that mistake. He's basically making an excuse for him. And he's basically saying, if he means that, then you know, this doesn't exist. And maybe this is what he meant. Yeah?
But that's my point. Like, him being a hadith specialist, would he have kind of meant that, knowing full well what Aziz, the general definition of Aziz hadith is?
Wallahu alam, but this is what Ibn Hibban does mention. And Ibn Hajar is responding to that. Yeah, this is in the Muqaddimah of the Sahih Ibn Hibban. So, wallahu alam. So he says, in arada anna riwayat ithnain faqat al-ithnain ila ayyantahi la yujad aslan fayumkinu ayyusallam wa amma surat al-aziz alati harrornaha fa mawjuda bi an la yarwiyahu aqallu min ithnain an aqallu min ithnain. And the surah that we have mentioned of Aziz less than two people should not narrate less than two people in it, all subsequent phases of the isnad, then that exists. So he gives a misal of that. Misaluhu ma rawahu al-shaykhain min hadithi Anasin radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wal-Bukhari min hadithi Abi Huraira anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal la yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa walidihi al-hadith. Rawahu an Anas Qatada wa Abdul Aziz ibn Suhaib. Wa rawahu an Qatada Shu'ba wa Sa'id. Wa rawahu an Abdul Aziz Ismail ibn Ulayya wa Abdul Waris. وَرَوَاهُ عَنْ كُلِّنْ جَمَاعًا. So here we have actually that the hadith has been narrated from Anas and Anas and Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then we've got Qatada and Abdul Aziz, and then two people narrate from Qatada, two people narrate from Abdul Aziz. Yeah. So this is an example of the Aziz hadith. So the Aziz hadith exists.
Sheikh, I have a quick question. You know, earlier Ibn Hajar, when he talked about the mutawatir, he said, you know, we don't even need to look into the isnad if there's so many in number. You know, we have certain knowledge that this is said. But then later on here, when we're saying that the Aziz is not a condition, and so it seems now that the muhaddithun here are saying, well, the number of narrators is not as important as the isnad. But when it was the mutawatir, and maybe it's just because the way they define it is so many number, you know, that they couldn't lie and things like that. But when it was that, then the number was very important. It was more important than the isnad. You don't even look at the isnad if the number is so big. So yeah. I'm just trying to wrap my head around like what he said earlier. And then now, you know, in terms of the conditionality for Bukhari and others.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why, you know, you're not getting your head around this is because actually, in reality, according to the mutaqaddimun, according to the earlier hadith scholars, mutawatir was not even a hadith terminology. Hadith scholars did not deal with quantitative you know, the quantitative elements of the isnad. They only dealt with qualitative. Yeah, the quantitative did count to bolster the isnad, but primarily it was the qualitative. It was only after Khatib, who was a 5th century scholar, that the mutawatir was brought in from usulul fiqh. Okay, so the ulama of hadith originally really do not deal with the quantitative elements of the isnad. For them, it's more qualitative. Does that help?
It does. I'm just still trying to wrap my head around it, but that makes sense. In terms of the with Qadi Abu Bakr, you know, in his response, is the only hadith that they could find that was gharib or that was not Aziz in Sahih Bukhari, that hadith? Or is there, you know, in terms of Bukhari, is it mostly, you know, I'm just trying to, was it just that one that they were trying to claim?
Most of the ahadith that are available in the entirety of Islam are from the ahad. Ahad basically means that they're either mashhur or the Aziz or the gharib. Yeah. Mutawatir is very less.
Right. But in terms of the Aziz in Sahih al-Bukhari, did they argue about that one hadith about إنما الأعمال بالنيات, because that was the one that they could find that was not Aziz, or is there other
hadith? No. There are many, many, many ahadith that are not Aziz. Yeah.
That are in Bukhari.
Yeah, that are in Bukhari.
Okay, that's all I was trying to find.
Yeah, the thing is that people like Bukhari and others epistemologically, epistemic certainty, this is talking about epistemic certainty. What gives right. confidence, what gives epistemic certainty? The Usul al-Fiqh scholars, for them, epistemic certainty is in numbers, right? The Hadith scholars, they don't look at numbers for epistemic certainty. For them, it's basically the quality of the isnad. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, and this is the famous debate that or the discussion that happened between Imam Malik and Imam Shafi'i, where Imam Shafi'i makes his famous dictum: "Idha sahha al-hadith fa huwa madhhabi." That if a hadith is sahih, then this is my madhhab. You've heard of this, right? Imam Shafi saying, "Idha sahha al-hadith fa huwa madhhabi." If the hadith is sahih, then that is my madhhab. What is the context that he said this in? The context that he said this in is that he was having a discussion, and Sheikh Muhammad Awama talks about this. He was talking about, he was discussing with Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi about certainty and about the isnad and about numbers and things like that. And Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, he basically said that if there are many, 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 many people practicing something, even though we don't have a text for that, or even if we have a weak text for that, if there are many, many, many people acting upon something, right, and there is a text which is contrary to that, okay, even if it's sahih, but the text is contrary to what all of these people are acting upon, then I will go with the majority. So he's talking about the concept of the amal of Ahlul Medina, the practice of the people of Medina, because confidence is in numbers. And that's when Imam Shafi'i, he responded, he said, no, إذا صح الحديث, if all of the people in the isnad of the hadith are erudite scholars, morally upright scholars, the isnad is not broken, there is no hidden defects, and there is no anomaly, then I have no reason to doubt that one person isnad or lone isnad narration. And that's when he said, إذا صح الحديث, that it doesn't matter how many people are narrating, if the hadith is sahih, meaning that if he meets the five conditions of sahih, then that is my madhab. It's in that context. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's leave it at this. We'll start from Gharib, because Gharib, there is a bit of difficult discussions. Okay, let's have a look. He's going to come back to. So look, what he's saying. Just 1 minute. Yeah, he's going to come back to Gharib afterwards. So let's pick up Gharib next week, inshallah. I just want to basically say something. I don't know, and I'm sorry about this, I don't know if there's going to be a class next week. There is something happening in Cardiff next week, which is like it's a movie on organ transplantation that I was involved in making. And the premiere for that movie is next week, and I am also talking at that. It runs all the way up to 7 o'clock. I'm not sure if I will be able to come out, because I'm speaking. I'm not sure if I will be able to come out, if I'm on the stage, to be here for this lesson by 6 o'clock. So I'm not cancelling it. I'm just saying that there is a probability, 50-50 chance, that there may not be a class. I will let you know next Sunday. Is that okay? Yep.
Sure.
Yes. Indeed.
Okay, Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamualaikum.
So I will let you know through the admin, okay? Because I don't have your numbers. I'll let you know through the admin.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. Assalamualaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.